When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Welcome back to the podcast. Cadillac Optic gets a big upgrade. BMW begin iX3 production. And Lucid ready for its Saudi factory. Plus, stay tuned later in the show. I'll tell you what one Tesla engineer is saying about the CEO after quitting and being with the business for 8 years. On today's edition of EV News China, I'm talking about 40 million EVs sold, the BYD Yangwang U9, that's the big 300-mile-an-hour hypercar, yeah, the O2 spec, and the Denza N9, a big premium SUV, three-row, gorgeous. Join me later for a bonus podcast about China's EV price war and how it's way worse than most people realize. It'll be live tonight for patrons, and all Patreon exclusives go into the free feed after 7 days of exclusivity. If you want the content first, well, that's just one of the many member benefits. Last week's Patreon bonus show about the 500-mile BMW iX3 goes into the free podcast feed at 8 p.m. UK this evening. Right, let's start with Cadillac. This is great news, by the way. Talk about a massive improvement for less money. Cadillac's updated the Optic lineup for the 2026 model year, upgrading the powertrain. The model gets a new single motor on the rear-wheel drive base trim and a beefier dual motor all-wheel drive option.
The base rear-wheel drive optic uses a new single electric motor they've got there that's rated for 315 horsepower. That replaces last year's base model, which was 300 horsepower. But that was for the dual motor. The new all-wheel drive dual motor goes from 300 to 440. That's a 47% increase. The previously announced Optiq V goes to 509 horsepower dual motor. EPA figures are not yet released, but Cadillac has listed revised range estimates. The base model with that massive new rear motor, tons of performance improvements, 300 miles, all-wheel drive dual motor, 280, Optiq V, 275. Pricing, though, get this, it's lower. The base rear-wheel drive starts at $52,395, which Cadillac says is lower than last year's base tag. Adding all-wheel drive is $3,500 more, and all trims, apart from the Optiq V, that's all-wheel drive as standard, obviously. Next, BMW Group is going to start series production of its new iX3, the electric SUV. 500 miles of range, incredible architecture, next-level engineering. I profile that in a whole half-hour show as we dive deep. It's called The Spec Sheet, my little spin-off series that I look at individual cars. Been on the Patreon feed for 7 days now, and that's the show that goes live tonight on the ad-supported free feed. And so they will start production in October at their new facility in Hungary in Debrecen. It's the first model in the Neue Klasse. Debrecen facility has 100% renewable energy. BMW's new concept called the iFactory, digital-first manufacturing. The plant was planned digitally from the start. Since March 2023, engineers have been testing operations and the digital environments before the physical production lines go in. They use digital twins, so you can do everything. You can build cars in a kind of virtual computer environment now. You have a digital twin of everything. It means that you can model stuff and iterate so much quicker, find the flaws, the improvements that need to be made in a virtual environment, a digital environment, and that includes the factory as well. Production of the iX3 is going to be a two-thirds CO2 reduction compared to existing BMW models. The Debrecen plant itself will produce 34 kilograms of CO2 per vehicle built at full capacity, 90% less than other BMW facilities. Now, during normal production, it runs on, like I say, all renewables, BMW's first car plant to avoid the fossil fuel chain. There's also a 3.6-acre solar array, which gives the factory about 25% of what it needs. Excess solar is stored in a thermal storage system that holds 1,800 cubic meters of water. That's about 130 megawatt hours of energy storage in that facility as well. This is deeply impressive how car companies are taking really seriously the move to EV and the need to reduce CO2 emissions, not just at the tailpipe, not just at the exhaust pipe, which obviously it doesn't have. So we know that's zero. Other companies are doing the same. Like Volvo are really proud of their efforts in this area as well. Brilliant, massively impressive. Now, Lucid Motors are next. They're upgrading their facility in the King Abdullah Economic City from a semi-knockdown SKD facility. And it will be able to fully produce complete vehicles on site rather than using kit assembly, a role it's performed since September 2023. The company began assembling its second model, the Gravity, at the Saudi facility earlier this year and will begin full vehicle production next year. The plant's capacity is 5,000 vehicles a year at the moment. It's a small facility. Lucid set the target of 150,000 units annually. According to the VP of the Middle East, vehicles produced there will be exported across Middle East and the Gulf countries and export to the European and Asian markets, but not China, as I told you about yesterday. They reaffirmed that Lucid will produce their mid-size platform at the Saudi facility as well, which is already being designed and engineered. There'll be significant involvement from the Middle East in the operation. A lot of input from Saudi talent, they say, in the plant and in Riyadh, where Lucid has their headquarters. About 65% of the workforce there, Saudi nationals who have been trained in the US plant, are now back on home soil. Wow. Talking of Lucid, by the way, second story from them today. They've released their new over-the-air update. Look out for UX 3.3 to the Gravity SUV. So that adds big towing and camera upgrades to the Gravity. Makes towing a breeze, they say. A new integrated trailer brake control, hitch view, trailer light check. Hitch view displays the trailer hitch on the Gravity's infotainment system. The trailer light check illuminates all the different lights in sequence. That's pretty common in some cars if you're used to towing. If you're on your own, obviously you can't check. So you run the system. It's done differently in different cars, whether it's putting your foot on the brake and pressing a button or whatever. Then you jump out, go around to the back of the trailer, and it'll illuminate all the lights in sequence. And not particularly innovative, but a real quality of life improvement, kind of matching what other companies do with towing. Lucid offering Gravity owners the option to test two Halo Secure features in development, what they call Live View and Drive Recorder. So Live View uses the vehicle's external cameras to stream what's around it in real time to the app. Again, not innovative, but matching the best in class. Drive Recorder saves the clips, accidents, incidents. If you spot something, you want to save all the camera view onto its USB. Again, yeah, Tesla very famous for that. The update makes changes to the infotainment system, better responsiveness and usability. You can put bookmarks on the home screen as shortcuts to navigate to your favorite locations. And the audio system has been improved as well, they say. That Gravity, super special. Really special. Now, Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi, the alliance, which was one time they were, thick as thieves. It was a very tight alliance. There's been some undoing of that in recent years and a reallocation of how the various bits of the companies own each other. Renault always owned more than Nissan. The Nissan owned of Renault. It's a bit of an imbalance. But that relationship hasn't fallen apart. Although that alliance is still going, they're just learning to dance in a different way. Well, Nissan and Mitsubishi confirming that they will lean on their French partners for European production. Executives from all three companies met at the Ampere facility in France during their board meeting to review the initiatives. Nissan and Mitsubishi confirming that Ampere, the French company created by Renault, will be their manufacturing partner for the new BEV models they make. Ampere will construct the all-new Nissan Micra, which looks really good, by the way. The Nissan Micra. Okay, quick sidestep. Sorry for the digression. The Nissan Micra. For anyone who grew up around when that vehicle was first launched, it was certainly, if you saw a little old lady driving it or somebody on driving lessons who was 17 years old, it looked like that was what the vehicle was for. The Nissan Micra of today, obviously it's a Renault 5, the Nissan Micra of today is not only a lot bigger, because all cars are fat, because of safety and stuff, but also, it looks really good. Like, I never thought, you go back 25 years and ask 25-year-old me, hey, would you like a Nissan Micra one day? I genuinely would. Like, if that was our second car on the driveway, I'd be over the moon with the new Nissan Micra. They're also going to make the new, digression over. The new Nissan Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross as well. The Micra is on Ampere's AMPR or Ampere small platform, same as the Eclipse Cross. No, that's bigger, isn't it? That'll be on the medium platform, actually. And both models are being prepared at the French plant from Renault. Commercial launches by the end of the year. There's some Micra videos online already if you want to go look at the likes of, I think, Autogiffel did one. That's an insanely brilliant channel to go and watch if you love cars like me. The Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross is going to be an SUV for Europe and the first Mitsubishi vehicle made in France. Nissan unveiled the all-new Micra about May time, I think we saw it. Ampere's production facility in France now assembles six models for Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi and Alpine as well. NIO has completed their $1.16 billion equity offering. So this isn't a financial podcast. We steer away from pretty much most of that kind of stuff over here because there's other podcasts and YouTube channels that do a far better job than covering the financials of the EV industry. But NIO has completed that, raising a bunch more money, issuing more Class A shares. NIO said that they're just going to have a big party. No, NIO said that they're going to spend $1.6 billion on proceeds to invest in their new EV technologies, develop new platforms and models in three brands, expanding battery swapping and charging, which is fabulously capital intensive to build. Once it's built, of course, you get that massive first mover advantage. Battery swapping is huge in China, hasn't taken off in Europe yet, but NIO are spending a ton of money on building that. Same as Tesla had to build their own supercharger network back in the day as well. Also, the money strengthens their balance sheet. Using reference prices in the SEC filing, we don't know exactly, but the transaction implies $1.1 billion in gross proceeds. The capital raise follows the management goal, reaffirmed this month, of reaching 50,000 monthly sales by Q4. So their brands are NIO, obviously, they are Neo. Firefly, which is the cheaper bit, and Onvo, the family brand. August was a record, for instance, and so things are going well there. But even Neo, even, like, they're one of the ones that are doing okay. Even they've got one eye on making sure that they're around in the future. I think more than one eye on that, actually. We'll talk a lot about the crisis in China, although what's happening there is deeply impressive. The price war, which I think is being massively underestimated, is going to be hugely consequential to the global EV industry. We discussed that on our bonus show tonight. Now, Tesla's Cybertruck and Model 3, this was not bad news. It was spun as bad news by some bits of the sort of anti-Tesla media. But the IIHS, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety, did their new crash tests. They did a 2025 Tesla Cybertruck and a new Model 3. Both got just a good rating, not top safety pick. And that probably annoyed Tesla a bit, because the Tesla do like to have a reputation for safety. Until now, they had. For the Cybertruck, they rated the headlights as poor, with too much glare and some issues with the Model 3 rear seatbelts as well. Not bad cars by any means, but missing out on the top pick there. I think that'll irritate Tesla, actually. Now, the European Commission and 9 other EU member states launched the new Clean Transport Corridor to speed up deployment of charging infrastructure for EV trucks, targeting electrifications of sections of the Trans-European Transport Network. The 9 participating member states are Belgium, Denmark, Germany, Lithuania, Malta, the Netherlands, Austria, Poland, and Sweden. The initiative aims to coordinate building fast-charging infrastructure for heavy-duty vehicles. Under the new directive, member states can fast-track grid reinforcement for certain energy projects via new planning and approval procedures. The Commission plans to apply the same status to projects under the European Clean Transport Corridor that speeds up grid development and has pledged to simplify permitting for charging stations for heavy-duty vehicles that could be causing a bottleneck. The corridors in focus are the North Sea to Baltic route and the Scandinavian to Mediterranean corridor. Goodness, we should take a break. I have a cup of coffee going cold rapidly here. I'll take a slurp and be back in a moment.
When it comes to showing appreciation, the gift you choose says everything. Minky Couture luxury blankets make the perfect statement. Soft, stylish, and unforgettable. Whether you're thanking a client, rewarding an employee, or celebrating a milestone, nothing delivers warmth and gratitude like a Minky blanket. With custom options and elegant packaging, your gift will stand out and be remembered long after the moment has passed. Make your corporate gifting extraordinary with Minky Couture, luxury you can feel. Visit minkycouture.com to get started.
Welcome back to the podcast. A tepid caffeine boost later, and I can tell you about China and Poland discussing rare earth exports as part of a deal, a joint document released this week by China's ministry, saying that China and Poland are holding talks on export licensing of Chinese rare earth related products to Poland, and that both sides want to enable a compliant trade in dual use items. Okay, and that would encourage both countries to explore cooperation, including development of the Polish EV battery industry. Now, let's move on. In the UK, supermarkets are increasingly a great place to charge your car. New analysis by Zapmap and the RAC showing UK supermarkets expanding their EV charging stock by more than a third from January last year to June this year, adding 1,001 charge points at 260 big supermarkets. The total is now 4,000 chargers. Well, just shy of 4,000 chargers, up 34% from the end of 2023. Supermarket chargers make up 5% of the UK stock. Of the chargers installed since January last year, 596 were rapid or ultra rapid. Around 1,876 supermarket locations now form some part of the charging network in the UK, up 16% from the end of 2023. Who's doing the most? Well, Tesco still run the largest supermarket charging network with 1,400 charge points. Aldi also adding a load. Now, obviously, this isn't, you know, the Walmart deal of the size of that in the US. I think that when Walmart go big on EV charging, it's going to be, I hate the phrase game-changing, significant for the US charging market. But over here, our supermarkets, we don't tend to have the kind of retail outlets that maybe you see in other countries. Our supermarket stock tends to be either a mix of local places where you go get a sandwich and your essential kind of pint of milk, loaf of bread, or at the other end of that, really big, get everything under one roof kind of, maybe like a hypermarket in France, but sort of less pile them high and sell them cheap that some kind of French hypermarkets would go. I'm not saying it's premium by any means, some of our supermarkets. I suppose in the middle of that, we've got some of the European competition coming in, like the Aldis and Lidls and stuff that sort of offer what I used to think of as a supermarket, like five or six aisles. But a lot of the big names are, you know, much bigger stores now and adding EV fast charging, which is awesome. Now, Ford is cutting 1,000 jobs at its Cologne EV plant, which is interesting. First of all, I made a whole podcast about what's happening to Ford in Europe, the failure of Ford in Europe, for many reasons, by the way, and what they can do to recover. That went into the Patreon feed last week, I think it was. That goes into the, after 7 days, it goes into the free feed, the ad-supported podcast feed, like the main one that I think most, you know, most people listen to. So you can hear that on Saturday night. I think that flicks over from being a Patreon exclusive. Ford's European decline. I ask what will bring back the glory days, if anything, for Ford. Well, maybe not the 12% market share days. But in the meantime, they're struggling and they're going to cut another 1,000 jobs in Cologne, their vehicle plant in Germany, and move the facility down to a single shift. The company said that in Europe, demand for EVs is well below forecasts. I love Ford. You can listen to that special show. I made it with love because I want them to do well. I love fast Fords. I grew up in the like 80s and 90s. That was my bedroom wall posters, right? Cozzies and RSs and big spoilers. Be very careful when a car company has to fire people and say it's because of a softening of the EV industry. It's a softening of people wanting Ford EVs. The EV industry is not softening, but they go, it's not a Ford thing. They all do it. But when they have bad news to release, they go, well, it's just, yeah, the EV industry is not doing what we thought it would do, and so we have to let people go. It's awful. It's because Ford have only recently now a Puma to sell, and until the UK grant of $4,000 off has been fabulously expensive for what it is, like $10,000 too much, and it's a good EV and really efficient as well, that Puma. Anyway, and the Explorer starts at $40,000. The Capri, you can spec up to almost £60,000 for a Ford. That's the Ford is the everyman car, right? And they went premium with EVs. So the EV market's fine, by the way. Ford mucked up their product line by previous management and all that kind of stuff, and now they're busy unpicking it. And it's not a quick fix. So when they say that they're firing people because of softening demand, yeah, for your EVs, like they're great cars, by the way, based on MEB, Explorer's fabulous, Capri's really good. They're just asking way too much money for what in most people's mind's eye, or you know, what they think of, like the Blue Oval, right? That's the everyman car. That's the Mondeo, Fiesta, Focus. Like, these are amazing cars that everybody owned back in the day. Spending $60,000 on a Ford, you know? So they've got work to do, and we want them to fix it. There was a prior restructuring as well that targeted 4,000 job cuts in Europe by the end of 2027. A major worker strike in Cologne this year disrupted production. The company's latest decision will affect vehicle output again. Registration data, however, in Europe is positive, according to the Manufacturers Association themselves, in the first 7 months of the year. Battery electric vehicles were over 1 million in the first 7 months of the year. Year-on-year increases in Spain up 95%, Germany up 60%, Italy up 60%. German registration data today from the KBA, the Federal Motor Transit Authority, shows that Ford only registered 10,000 BEVs in Germany in August. The developments come after Ford invested $2.4 billion or €2 billion to upgrade the Cologne facility. Sadly, the actual cars they have on sale, although very good, I think early adopters, I mean, we're in the early mainstream now, aren't we, for EVs, know quite a lot about the cars. And so you're not talking to an uneducated car buyer, and you're asking almost $60,000 for a Capri, which is basically an ID5, an MEB platform, which in some people's eyes needed fixing, which VW were fixing next year, MEB Plus and all those kind of things. So I understand why Ford went with that platform. You know, you can bring things forward by a couple of years, save a bunch of development time and money. Check out the bonus show that I did. It's a discussion point. I've got some suggestions, not that anybody cares, of what they could do to get back to selling a lot of mainstream cars. Right, two more stories. Canadian manufacturer Tiger Motors has revealed two jet ski models in Monaco, a two-seater and a three-seater. They market the Orca P2 as a benchmark of jet skis, $21,000 US. The three-seater WX3 Orca, built on a new crossover platform, they say. Big adventures for the whole family. 2 hours of water activity. A tow system as well for wakeboarding, water skiing and inflatables. A rear platform wide enough to fish from for the jet ski. That's $24,000 US. Both models have a 120 kilowatt motor developed in-house. The integrated traction unit combines an IPM motor and the inverter. No battery capacity disclosed. All models from next year support DC fast charging on CCS1 in North America and CCS2 in Europe. Less than 30 minutes and you are back on the water. The last time I rode a jet ski, I broke my left ankle. Me and jet skis do not get on very well. I was awful. The whole thing went black and blue. I couldn't walk for ages. You know, I'll give it a try anyway with electric power. Maybe it was the combustion engine that I'll blame on that jet ski. And finally, it was during COVID as well, so I couldn't even, like, obviously walk into the doctor's surgery. So everything was closed. Oh, that was fun. Right, a Tesla engineer that's been there for 8 years, one of the long-timers at the company, recently left the business. He resigned, but he wasn't fired. And unlike some people who simply move on, either at the end of a relationship or leaving a job, he decided to part ways with Tesla with a few choice words on LinkedIn, saying his departure was because of his concerns over the CEO. He'd been there 8 years, an engineer, joined in 2017, wrote, okay, I'm just going to quote this, right? I do need to address the elephant in the room. The main reason I'm leaving is that I think Elon has dealt huge damage to Tesla's mission and to the health of democratic institutions in several countries. Beyond that, Elon's leadership and decision-making seems seriously compromised. Wow. He worked on things like AutoBidder, Tesla's energy trading platform, really important part of the future of the company as well. He said his worries go beyond policy, not about politics, but really about lying, manipulating, targeting minorities, and supporting climate change deniers. I can't convince myself anymore that this is the right place to be, he said. And he closed out by saying, I wish the best to everyone who will stick around and keep working to accelerate the transition to sustainable energy. And I hope the best for Tesla Energy, end quote. It's interesting. I think most people wouldn't take on such a famous, influential person, richest man in the world, obviously, in such a public way. He would have known what he was saying is pretty incendiary. But it also shows, I think it also shows the depth of feeling from people who, you know, who work at Tesla, all really good people, who are there because of the mission, right? And I think, like a lot of Tesla owners, the whole tie-up with politics and everything else, like Elon Musk turned up to support a far-right march in London last week with a bunch of really very questionable characters on the fringes of our political system who have really terrible beliefs about minorities and things like that. And I just wish he wouldn't insert himself in that. But it's his right to. Of course it's his right to. He can do what he wants. But it's like, oh, man, do I even mention this on my podcast on Monday morning? No, because who cares? It's his personal life. It's just don't tie Tesla into it. And by the looks of it, it's even driven a long-timer to leave the business. But leave by certainly getting it all off of his chest. Wow, brave, I would say. A brave move. Thanks to our premium partners of the podcast and every Patreon supporter. I couldn't do this without, firstly, the patrons, and secondly, everyone who listens to the ad-supported free feed. Thank you very much for that. It's how I pay my wages and feed the family these days. This is all I do. Our premium partners are Porsche of the Village of Cincinnati, Audi of Cincinnati East, and Volvo Cars, also in Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and the Aloha Charge in Hawaii, and Octopus Electroverse. Global public charging made simple with one app and one map. Have a good one. See you tomorrow. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.